I'm Jamie Seeker, and this is What It Takes. Each episode, I sit down with real business owners to talk about their journey, the wins, the challenges, and everything in between. Let's dive in. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to What It Takes. This is a show where we dive into the real, raw stories behind the journey of the business ownership. Today, I'm joined by someone who's built not just a business, but a legal fortress for entrepreneurs. Matt Davis is the founder of Davis Business Law, a firm that's grown by over 1,000% in 8 years. From their hometown roots in Enid, Oklahoma, they now have offices stretching from Kansas City to Austin and are one of the rare law firms to ever make the Inc. 5000 list. But here's the twist. Matthew's not just your typical lawyer. He's also a heavy metal guitarist, author of The Art of Preventing Stupid, and the creator of a system that helps business owners spot their vulnerabilities before they become disasters. We're going to talk about what it takes to scale smart, protect what you've built, and how to think like a business lawyer before the problems hit. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm thrilled to be here and thrilled to talk shop. It's one of my favorite things, you know. Let's talk business.
Let's do it. So you've scaled Davis Business Law into 8 locations. What did those early steps look like? And like, when did you realize that this could be more than a local practice?
Well, we're just too dumb to know we can't do it. So we just keep doing it. We sort of wandered into it. We wandered in to set up a branch in Oklahoma City, and once we realized we could do that, we said, okay, well, let's go to Tulsa and Wichita. And then we said, okay, Kansas City and Dallas, and have a little branch in Fort Worth, and then Austin. And a couple months ago, our friends, we moved up to Denver and he was going to start a new law firm. I said, why don't you just join us? So that was kind of an accidental branch. And so I suppose we have 9 branches now, and we may open one in San Antonio here pretty quick. We're about to go have a little discussion about such things in our monthly half-day leadership meeting. So that's when it all happened.
Well, that's great. Congratulations. And you also created the Strong Protected Business System. What problems were you seeing that led to you building that? And tell our listeners what that is as well.
Well, so, you know, what I hate most of all, what just drives me crazy, is seeing our clients just get into stupid mistakes. Okay. I mean, you know it. You're a business consultant. And in a way, you know, we are too. With legal specialization. And it, you know, it's like, it's heartbreaking to see people's dreams just get smashed because of the things that are either preventable or that you can prepare for. I mean, it just, you know, I think about it and I think about what's happened to my clients. A lot of them are my great friends. And it, you know, it hurts. And I'm like, gosh, guys. And, you know, I can tell you some great examples of how we've prevented lots of problems by doing this. And I can tell you some people that have come to us with some pretty ugly things, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, can you share a story that this system made a big difference in preventing a costly mistake?
Sure. And this is a signature story. I talk about it in the book. So I have great client, great friend. And we sat down, this was 10 years ago now, and he runs a big oil field electrical company. So all those pumps you see out there are powered by electricity, right? And it's, you know, it's pretty heavy duty stuff. And we were talking, he and his wife, we were kind of going over.
Oh, I lost you. Okay, so can you share a client story where the system maybe made a big difference in preventing a costly mistake?
Well, this is the signature story I talk about in The Art of Preventing Stupid, and it's gut-wrenching. So, great friend, great client of mine, and his wife, they've built this big oil field electrical service business and really changed their lives. And so one day we're doing business planning. Some other people are trying to, you know, come in, and I'm like, these guys are lunatics. And we're talking through the business. And I ask how much insurance they had, because, you know, they've got a lot of catastrophes that can happen. And they told me a number, and I was like, what are you thinking? And, you know, this was to me really a prompt to get organized about doing this with our clients. Okay. And so I got a lot better after this, because I got a lot more serious and organized. But I stopped. I'm like, guys, this is coming to an end. We are going to get multiples of what you got. And within a couple days, we had it. Okay. So 6 months later, I get a call, and one of the company trucks, which are big loaded down Ford 550s, you know, they're big pickups, was going down a country highway. It was drizzling, and a semi was coming the other way. It's two-lane road, no shoulders. And our car, our truck, hydroplaned, came down the side of that semi and spat out into the oncoming lane behind the semi and hit mom and dad head on. Brand new truck they just bought, and two kids in the back. The parents didn't make it. Kids were alive. Awful, awful, awful. I mean, horrible deal. And so they called me out to go deal with the circumstances, and the previous owner of the company and the right-hand man. And we just shored up everything, you know, got everything in order, because guess what? The owner was split in a chest, major thoracic surgery down in one of the cities. So we got it under control, you know, dealt with everything as best you can. I mean, it's just awful. I mean, it's just maintenance. The horrible, horrible, horrible stuff that, you know, I have to deal with sometimes. And, you know, the owner didn't come back to work because he was convalescing. And, you know, Sunday, 2 weeks later, Monday, next day, he's going to come back to work. And I drive out in the country, knock on his door. He's, you know, I'm his friend, but he didn't expect to see me on Sunday afternoon. And, you know, big old 6'7" guy. He's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, sit down. And I tell him the story. And, you know, he's just crying, just devastated. And, you know, first question he asks is, what about the kids? Are they going to be okay? And, you know, I said, yeah, they're going to be fine. And so, you know, that's the humanity and greatness of this guy. But then, you know, the next question is, after that sinks in, and you can't do anything about the parents, he's like, what about the company? I said, we're fine. We're fine because we had that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? And I bet many business owners don't really know that they're financially exposed. Like, what are the biggest blind spots that you see?
Well, you know, particularly if you have vehicles out on the road, you need to have some considerable insurance. You know, we represent a number of trucking companies, and that's, you know, those are some pretty serious insurance stacks, because lots of people hate trucking companies because everybody's kind of had a bad experience, right? And so, you know, if you have vehicles, important, you know, anything healthcare, particularly elder care, is important. To have either good insurance or, you know, no insurance is a strategy, which seems crazy. You know, years ago, I got a claim from an opposing attorney who I knew, and he had kind of a nonsense claim against a nursing home client we had. And he goes, well, let me call your insurance company. And I said, we don't have one. And he said, well, we're going to see you. I said, well, I'll just give you the keys to the facility.
Yeah, sure. That I'm sure he was like, okay, bye.
Yeah. Well, we gave him a very minor sum of money, but I'm like, you want to change the bedpans, amigo? Right?
Yeah, right.
So, you have to think through those strategies because you have to think through your liabilities and you have to not only your liabilities, but, you have to think through the catastrophes that can happen because, from that standpoint, there's nothing new under the sun. The same stuff happens over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And, I missed one. My right-hand man, great, great guy. He was a retired Air Force colonel. He's from one of the farm towns down here. I've known him most of my life. I don't even know where I know him from. Probably Methodist church camp, right? And he became number 10 Air Force colonel in the JAG Corps, the lawyer corps. Then when he retired, I got him to come back home to Oklahoma, work for us. Fantastic human being, one of the best guys I've known my whole life. And he was COO of our company. And I was in Savannah 2 years ago now, and got a call from Tricia, our CFO, right over here. She's like, Derek's not here. And he'd had a massive heart attack.
Oh, wow.
And, he's 57, great health, just complete freak widowmaker heart attack. And, it's like when you have those really valuable people on your team, death happens. Come on, Simba. It's the circle of life, right? And, you need to be prepared for those things. So, you should see our life insurance stacks now.
Yeah.
Don't tell my wife because she might kill me, right? But yeah, it's, I hate to be so morose, but this stuff is serious.
Yeah.
And, you need to spend some time. And what we teach is really a good, intense method of brainstorming about where your vulnerabilities are.
Right.
And in a couple of systematized ways, I wrote about in the book, the other's pretty closely related, but you've got to look for your catastrophes. You have to look for your ignorance, meaning what you don't know. And, a lot of people are resistant to doing the education and, making the constant effort to get better. And that's something you have to do if you want to be successful because, your capabilities are your lid. And I was reading John Maxwell the other day, or listening to it rather, and he talks about in, one of his laws of leadership, the first one is your leadership is the lid. And that, I think that also goes for your know-how. And then the third thing we teach people to look for is where are you getting slack? Where are you? We call it ineptitude. You could call it lack of discipline. You can come up with whatever synonym you want. But what do you know you're supposed to be doing, but you're not? And constantly asking yourself that. So we're hiring a lot right now and hiring fast. And we have a lot of recruits coming at us fast and furious. And I'm going, okay, we've got a process. We've spent a lot of time and energy, blood, sweat, and tears, whatever you want to call it, developing a process to get the right people on the team. Are we following it or are we getting sloppy? Mm. And that's a discussion we're about to have about some hires at our leadership meeting here after.
Yeah. Accountability is huge. When do you think a small business should start thinking about legal protections, financial planning, that sort of stuff? Do you think this is something that you do before you grow or maybe once you hit a certain level of revenue? Like what do you guys advise on that?
I've thought through that intensely, okay? Because not to be a smartass, but the answer is it depends. And you've already highlighted the issue because when you're small, why worry about succession planning? Because there's nothing to succeed, right? And, but when, you've grown to the size of us, now I'm concerned about succession planning. And so let me tell you this. We did It's free on our website, which is davisbusinesslaw.com, and it's over in our resources tab. What we did is we broke down the best practices for businesses at various stages of their growth. And we did it based kind of on revenue and number of employees. There should be some congruency in those two ideas. Now, my thought is each employee should be generating about $225,000-$250,000 a year. That's just kind of a spitball number in my mind. Maybe it's in yours. I don't know. But anyway, so, you know, as you grow the company, there's things that as you mature, you need to deal with and you need to be aware of. And we mapped that all out, completely free resource, and lots of businesses have taken advantage of that to answer the question that you did. I mean, what I did is talk to all of our attorneys. I'm like, let's just go down the list of everything people get in trouble for. And then let's figure out really the point in their business growth when they ought to really start being concerned about it.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah, because I was going to ask, how do you work with the clients on integrating that legal strategy with the financial planning? And I think that's a wonderful resource. I think I would definitely utilize that. I'm working with clients and talking about, hey, here's where the growth, you know, typical growth patterns happen. Like you said, where you are in a revenue standpoint versus how many employees you have. These are, you know, similar things that you face during these stages. And I think that's a wonderful resource. What do you think was one of the most difficult financial decisions that you personally had to make while scaling your firm?
Ooh. You know, I don't know that I had a particularly difficult decision. Now, the particularly difficult realization, to change your question a little bit, is it's a lot easier to run a $10 million a year law firm or a $2 million a year law firm than a $5 million a year law firm.
Yeah, isn't that funny? The different stages have different challenges. And it's like when you get to a certain point, you can change a little bit on how you approach things. But I think that from what we've seen in helping businesses, there are absolutely those different stages that you don't necessarily think about before you get into it, that you're like, why is this stage so hard? Here was great. Here is great. This part right here, not very, you know, different challenges.
Yeah. And that, you know, that first hump is really about, when you're small, you can run it kind of by yourself and you don't have to have a lot of professional, you know, I didn't have to have a CFO, didn't have to have an assistant CFO, whatever Bailey's called it. She's fantastic. I'm not diminishing her. I just don't know what her title is. And, you know, we didn't have to have a lot of these. But then, you know, at five, yeah, we got to have them. But as we blew past that, it's like, and you know, that just cramps your profit margins. And so, you know, we really, you know, we have to stay at a certain number of revenue or I just got to lay a bazillion people off, which I'm not going to do. So that's one reason, you know, we just kept growing and then we've got to decide how big we're going to get. So, which is kind of a funny question because, you know, it's for us at this point, it's a function of, you know, our recruiting works at a certain point and I just got to decide when we reach equilibrium on, you know, the equation of recruiting capability minus attrition plus new hires.
Yeah. And there's that sweet spot, right? Because once you get to that next threshold and you have to provide a lot more resources, all of a sudden your profit margins are really tight, but you've got all this room to where, okay, but if I can just increase the revenue here, then my profit margins are excellent. But then, you know, you get to that next threshold and then it becomes tight again. So I think that that's such a great point to people that are listening, that are scaling, that are starting to grow. More revenue does not necessarily equal higher profit margins, right? There are things that happen along the way within your growth that you need to account for and plan for. And some of those middle times are the hardest times. And you don't think it is because you've already been through the hurdle of scaling and you know how to do it already. So the knowledge is there. And it's like you think that it's going to be, you know, hey, I know how to do this. This is great. But there's that piece right there, that sweet spot when you have to increase all of your resources, hire, provide, you know, space, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And you're investing a lot and your revenues are just barely meeting that, you know? So that can be a very tricky place to be.
Preach it, Sister Jim.
Yeah. I mean, you're making me think about finances and like these times and, you know, it's almost like I see a lot of the comparison of if you're a parent out there and having kids, you're like, oh, I've already had a kid. You know, I've got one. And then you have two and you're like, whoa, that is not at all like it is having one. Right. And then you think, OK, we've done this, whatever. So I have a lot of kids. So I've had that mindset happen personally and then professionally, too, with business. It's the same thing. Your output is, you know, sometimes your return on investment is a lot harder to come by in those growth periods. And you really just have to stick to the plan and the strategy and really keep a close eye on it. But yeah, that brings me to our signature question that we ask all of our guests that come on the show. In your experience, tell me what it takes to be a successful business owner.
Well, I own a professional service firm, right? And that is a different sort of business because, you know, there's a great book about running that called First Among Equals. And if you'll pardon the metaphor, you know, it's kind of like running a wolf pack and I have to be the head wolf and I have to be involved. They want me involved. I have to do the management stuff, but they really want me to be able to talk to them, to be, you know, I get emails from all the attorneys. We do lunch and learns. And so I think my business, a professional service firm, is a different sort of animal than, say, running a chain of quick shops. And it's, and a lot of my friends miss that. I'm in several law firm owner groups. And, you know, masterminds, you might call them. And, you know, I was talking to one yesterday and she told me she was going to Europe for a year to enroll her kids in some school to learn a foreign language. And I'm going, you know, I didn't pop off about it, but that, you know, it wasn't the time and place. And, you know, I have my friends that get that way. And, you know, one guy now goes to Columbia 6 months out of a year. And his firm's struggling. And so I, you know, particularly with professional service firms, leadership within the organization is critically, critically, critically important. And there's your lid. I mean, if you're going to abdicate your leadership role, your firm's going to fall apart. You know, whether it's architects or accountants or lawyers or, you know, to some extent, doctors are a little bit different sort of breed, but you get the point. So, or archaeologists, I have a client that runs an archaeological firm, which is really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd have to agree. I see that a lot is that sitting in that seat, you really set the tone for leadership. And I think, you know, your business starts to look a lot like you because your name is on the firm. It's your vision. It's your where you're going. And if you're really not able to, you know, carry that load and be that resource for your team, you can definitely hit some struggles. I think we touched on some very important things here about scaling, about financially protecting yourself, some legal liabilities, leadership. I feel like there was a lot of takeaways on that. For our listeners, I appreciate how Matthew breaks down the legal planning in a way that's clear, proactive, honestly, really empowering to have that sort of resource there publicly on your website. Matthew, can you tell them again where they can check that out?
Yeah. So our website's davisbusinesslaw.com. And it's somewhere over in the resources tab, you know, like I don't cruise my own website very much, but you can find it. You're big boys and girls.
Yes, absolutely. And if you want to learn more about Matt and his book, The Art of Preventing Stupid or The Strong Protective Business System, you can head there to that website. You'll also find resources and info on their 8-9 locations now that they have Denver, from Kansas City to Austin. So thanks again, Matthew, for joining us. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow or subscribe so you never miss an episode. And we'll see you next time on What It Takes.
Sounds great. Hey, thank you. That was fun.
This podcast is brought to you by Seeker Solution. Are you a business owner feeling overwhelmed? We can help. Head over to SeekerSolution.com to schedule a call today. Would you or someone you know like to be featured on this podcast? Our applications are now open. Apply today at SeekerSolution.com and click on the podcast link to get started.